And just for the next few moments together, what I'm going to do is I'm going to draw on some of the passages that, if any of you have been following on from the Moravian Daily Text, which numbers of us in our church have been reading over this year, and if you want to find them, if you go to the website encounterbc.org, just not .au, but encounterbc.org, on there you will find all of the readings set out for the whole year, and you can even click on links and it will appear on your appear on the screen, whether it's on your computer or on your smartphone or on your tablet. So you don't even need to have the Bible with you. You need to be on a data network or a Wi-Fi network. It'll just come up for you. So over the last few months, we've been reading different psalms. We've been reading a bit of the psalm every day, and we've been reading some Old Testament and some New Testament. And sometimes when we go through and reading these scriptures, we read them and we just sort of think about the story, or we think about the moral content of it or some other teaching, but we don't necessarily think about it in realistic terms about people hearing from God or not hearing from God. And as we move into a new season of missional engagement, it's going to be really important for us to listen to God. And so that's why we've been dealing with that with the kids, and we're dealing with it, listening to God for us as adults today. And as we go through these passages, I'm not going to read them all out, but I'm going to refer to some of them, and you might then like just take notice of them and go back and read some of them in more detail later on. So I'm going to start with the Psalms, and one of them is Psalm 73. And Psalm 73 says in from verse 2, "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles, their bodies are healthy and strong, they are free from common human burdens, they are not plagued by human ills. Therefore pride is their necklace, they clothe themselves with violence, from their callous hearts comes iniquity, their evil imaginations have no limits, they scoff and speak with malice, with arrogance they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven and their tongues take possession of the earth." Down to verse 13. "Surely in vain I kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been afflicted. Every morning brings new punishments." If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. And here's the turning point. "Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny." If we're thinking about listening to God, maybe we have the experience that the psalmist had, where we are just confronted by the fact that people around us, their life seems to be going well and they aren't following God. And we can get so focused and caught up in that that somehow we get disconnected from God. Or we almost lose our ability to hear from God. And we can be encouraged by this psalmist who, even in the midst of his wrestle and wondering where God was in all of that, he went to the sanctuary. He went to the place where people gathered for worship and to offer sacrifices and to offer prayers. And it's in there that he discovered again, or was reminded again, of God's perspective on the circumstance. He heard God in a fresh way. That helped him understand, and he goes on to the fact that in the rest of the psalm talks about how these people who are apparently well off, actually they're not well off in the long run, and God will their feet are going to slip and they're going to be destroyed. Verse 21, "When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth is nothing I desire besides you." Down to verse 28. "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." The thing about the Psalms is that they contain the full range of human experience. Now, not your particular experience, like Collingwood supporters when their team loses to the Gold Coast, right? But the full range of human experience from the highest of highs to the deepest depressions, from the victory to betrayal, from weddings to death, and these times where it seems like we don't hear God. And this psalmist, he went through that experience. The in-your-face prosperity of the wicked was so loud, he almost became deaf to God. And just coming back to the sanctuary, to the place of worship, reconnected him with what God was saying. And then he was able to say, it's good for me to be near God. So maybe in your life, when you're going through listening to, and thinking about listening to God, maybe that's a thing that blocks it out for you. And maybe this psalm can help you. Psalm 74 starts with a question when you don't feel like you're hearing from God at all. Oh God, why have you rejected us forever? Why does your anger smoulder against the sheep of your pasture? Remember the nation you purchased long ago, the people of your inheritance? And he goes on to describe the fact that, now this is a situation not so much where apparently the people around you are having a good life even though they're not following God. In this circumstance, he's talking about the nation of Israel being attacked and overrun and bad things happening to them. And they thought they were God's people. And what's going on? And in verse 9, the question that's resonating for the psalmist is, we are given no signs from God. No prophets are left. And none of us knows how long this will be. Sometimes you feel like that. Sometimes you feel like your life is all closing and these questions are saying, not only are the circumstances bad, but there's no prophets telling us what God wants. God's not speaking to us. God's not speaking to me. How long will the enemy mock you, God? Will the foe revile your name forever? Why do you hold back your hand, your right hand? Take it from the folds of your garment and destroy them. And here's the turn for this person and for these people at that time. The God is my king from long ago. He brings salvation on the earth. It was you who split open the sea by your power. You broke the heads of the monster in the waters. It was you who crushed the heads of Leviathan and gave it as food to the creatures of the desert. It was you who opened up springs and streams. You dried up the ever-flowing rivers. The day is yours and yours also the night. You established the sun and moon. It was you who set all the boundaries of the earth. You made both summer and winter. And so this psalmist, in the middle of his distress about God's apparent inaction and his distress about God's apparent not speaking, he remembers that God has acted in the past. And it may not be apparent that God is speaking or acting now, but this person took comfort from the fact that God had spoken and acted in the past. God had rescued them out of Egypt and slavery. And God, he went even back further to the fact that God had created everything. And when we feel like giving up, when we feel like God is no longer speaking, we need to go back and remind ourselves that God has spoken in the past. God has acted in the past. And we can draw from that God will act again. God will speak again. We will hear again. Because if we lose that hope, then we stop listening at all, don't we? And so it's not unusual, it's not uncommon for us to go through that experience. It's right there in the Bible. Us being distracted by the apparent blessings of the wicked. Us being disheartened by the apparent silence and inaction of God in our current circumstance. And so coming to the place of worship and remembering that God has spoken and acted in the past are really helpful things. We've just started in the readings reading Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy, and I'm not going to really read any of it, but basically the whole book of Deuteronomy is like Moses' farewell message to Israel. So for those, if you remember, Moses was raised up as a leader to take the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and to the promised land, He took them to Mount Sinai. God spoke in an audible voice from heaven and gave him the Ten Commandments. And that freaked everybody out, so God wrote them down on a bit of stone. And then they were going to go up into the promised land, but the people were gripped with fear. They looked at the circumstance more than what God's promises. And so everyone doubted God, and God said, okay, well, if you don't want to go in, you won't. The next generation will. And they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And now they're on the edge of the promised land, about to go in. Moses isn't going in, but he then gives like his final address, and that's what most of Deuteronomy is. Moses' final address. And he reminds them of the journey. He reminds them of where they've been, the road that they've gone on, the ways they failed, and the ways God also brought them through. He reminded them of what God had spoken to them and taught them. And when we're thinking about listening to God, that's really important for us to do as well. It builds on that last one, that God has spoken in the past. But it also is important because it reminds us the sorts of things that God talks about. Isn't it amazing that when you're in a crowded party, or even over at morning tea where we're going to be having some delicious cake on Eric's behalf, and Eric will probably have some as well in a few minutes' time, that you can be in a crowded room and lots of different noise going on, and all of a sudden you pick out some conversation about football or some conversation about a great sale at Spotlight or some, because it's a conversation that, or words that are meaningful to you, and all of a sudden out of all the cacophony you pick up those words because they're things that you know are important and resonate. And if we go back and as we remind ourselves by reading the scriptures and by reminding ourselves of the story of what God has done in our lives and what God has done in our church, then we attune ourselves to the sorts of things that God is saying. Because if we want to listen to God, we've got a much better chance of listening to God if we actually come listening to what the sorts of, looking for the sorts of things that God might speak about. So often we just come to God saying, God, I need to listen to you, I need to hear from you about this. And you only got a very narrow focus. But if we want to listen to God, well, we need to listen to anything that God might have to say. And so if the whole thing about listening to God, sure, we can ask God for wisdom and guidance about specific matters. But like Samuel learnt when Eli told him, he was learning to listen to God. He said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And us being reminded about the sorts of things that God talks about will enable us to hear God better or to reconnect with God's voice. In the readings, we've been starting to read through Luke's Gospel. And in the nation of Israel, the 400 years previous to the arrival of Jesus and John the Baptist, it's known as the silent years. It's like there wasn't any prophets from God. It's like there was just deafening silence from heaven. But then we read in chapter 2 of Luke, where Jesus is presented at the temple when he's 8 days old. And in the midst of all of this religious activity and sacrifices and all that sort of stuff going on, in the midst of this decade after decade of people apparently not hearing from God as a nation, then two people, a man and a woman, so there's not any sexual gender discrimination, a guy called Simon and a lady called Anna, out of all the random babies that are being brought in, of all of the other people that are coming in with sacrifices for this and that and the other thing, and sheep for this and doves for that and pigeons for the other thing, Simon hears God whisper to his heart, that baby is the one I promised you, that you wouldn't die until you'd seen the Messiah. And Anna, who had been a widow for lots of years, she came up and also spoke to people about the significance of this baby Jesus. So even when it seems like God isn't speaking to everybody, God is speaking to somebody. And these two people, Simon and Anna, are people that did things that enabled them to do that. He was described Simon as he was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. So here he was. He was a person who was being faithful to God, who had aligned his life and his purposes with God's purposes. He'd aligned his actions with God's commands. He was righteous. But also he was devout. The relationship with God thing wasn't just a thing that sort of was a ritualistic thing that happened at Christmas and Easter or occasionally some other times or went along with a crowd. No, for him it was a personal thing that he was committed to. And in that context, out of all of the people doing all of their stuff, he heard God. So do we want to be in a better place to have a chance of hearing God? Are we righteous and devout? Are we aligned with God's purposes? Are we taking our spiritual life with God seriously on a regular basis? And Anna was very similar. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow till she was 84. She never left the temple but worked night and day, fasting and praying. Drawing near to God in worship, drawing near to God with fasting and praying. That's what she did. And out of all of the people that was going on, that didn't hear anything from God, she, like Simon, heard from God. Then in chapter 3 we have John the Baptist. And he goes and says, repent, make straight the way for the one who's coming after you. And then Luke chapter 3 verse 7, John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' What then shall we do?" In verse 10, the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and any who has food should do exactly the same. Even the tax collectors came to be baptized. Seeker, they asked, 'What should we do?' 'Don't collect any more than you are required to,' he told them. And then the soldiers asked him, 'What should we do?' And he replied, 'Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay.'" So here, after 400 years of silence, there is a prophet in the nation. And people recognize that he's a prophet in their nation. And they go out to listen and hear the prophet, John the Baptist. And then he calls everyone that's going out to listen to him a brood of vipers. And that is because they were going to hear, but not to listen. He was the latest thing around. He was the first exciting thing from a spiritual and religious point of view that had happened in decades and centuries. And they didn't want to miss out. And they were racing out to go and see this weirdly dressed guy who ate locusts and wild honey and spoke this stuff. They were going to hear him, but John had to challenge them that they weren't going to listen. They had no intention of actually doing anything about what they heard. See, if we want to listen to God, we've actually got to come with a heart that says, "When you say something, God, I'm going to respond. When I hear from something from you about something that about you or about me or about church or about my work or about whatever, then I'm actually going to do something about it." All of us have had the experience of interacting with another person, whether they're a child or a parent or someone else, who feign the appearance of listening to you, but you can discern that they have no intention at all of doing anything about it. And so if we're wrestling with hearing from God, let's just check. Am I actually going to do anything about what I might hear from God? That's a big thing, isn't it? Those of you as parents might have had the experience of, you know, asking your kids to do something and they don't do it. And so you ask them to do it again and the decibel goes up a tiny bit and the decibel goes up a tiny bit more and the decibel goes up a tiny bit more until you start, your voice starts breaking and cracking like it hasn't since you're a teenager because you're so loud and emotional about trying to get the message across. And the reason we start speaking louder and louder is because we're trying to assert our authority. Now, God is not like that. God does not need to assert his authority. God's authority is God's authority. It is there. There is no competition. God's authority is there. And a couple of times when I have done stuff with kids in CRE many years ago and other things, and kids are being rowdy or other people in a different circumstance are being rowdy, instead of speaking louder and louder, I start speaking softer and softer. And I think sometimes that is what God does. Because when God starts speaking softer, you need to start listening a bit more intently. And when you start listening a tiny bit more intently, it's an indication, or it helps you align yourself with the fact that you are actually going to act on what you hear. It's like if you're at the airport and you hear a vague noise of, you think you heard something about your flight number being called. And so then you listen more intently and you hear that the gate has been changed. And instead of going to gate 36, you now have to walk 5 kilometres the other way to gate 1. But you listen intently because you have an intention to act. And if we want to listen to God, we need to do the same thing. We need to have an intention to act. And the final reflection I just want to draw is from Luke chapter 7. Verse 18. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Here is John. He's been faithful to God. He's wound up in prison. And he's going through a crisis of faith. He's going through doubt. And he needs to hear from God. And the message that Jesus sends back is, look at what's happening. So sometimes God speaks to us not through words, but through the actions around us. It's just like in a marriage. Sometimes you speak to your spouse by the actions rather than the words. So you come home and you find that all of a sudden the washing up has been done. It's a very rare occasion that I do that. Probably I need to do that a bit more to communicate some other things to my wife. I'm not looking over that side of the room just at the moment. Or there's a roast lamb in the oven. Or And so you come in and you think, what? Tom Cruise is coming to dinner? No, he's not, unfortunately. Not to our dinner anyway. He's going to dinner somewhere, just not with us. And so here, Jesus speaks to John and points out the circumstances in his life as the way of communicating hope to him and his crisis of faith. And this is not all the time, because sometimes circumstances seem wrong, right? Sometimes there's the wicked flourishing. Other times there's me as a follower of God going through persecution. But other times there are signs going around in our lives that we need to take notice of. And I was talking with some people from the dance studio where I've been, had my Kumon for the last year, and I'm just moving it to a new place over the last few days. It's been very hectic. But what I reflected on was the fact that over the last 2 years, 18 months, 2 years, there has been so many coincidences about buildings and finances that when you lay them all down, they're not coincidences. God is actually saying something through them. And in many ways, rehearsing it, and it's good to rehearse it, just like Deuteronomy rehearsed what had happened, whether it's the Stonington Baptist Church 4 years ago had said, if we get to this amount of money, we're going to have to decide to sell our building. On the month we got to that amount of money, 3 years later, we were deciding to sell the building because we had this partnership that we were coming to. A month or so later, we were going through this intense time of having negotiations about selling, and I felt God say to me when I was out walking one evening that the people we were going to sell to, it wasn't going to happen. And then it didn't happen. We didn't deliberately undermine it. It just, the way it worked out is it didn't happen. And we sold later, a month later, for an extra almost $1 million. And then there was a concern for my business about where that, because the church building, which is where it was being sold. And then it turned out that I could rent a room in the back with the new people who were leasing it from the people who had purchased the building. And then we were expecting to be there for 2 years. And just in April this year, where we heard surprisingly that the tenant had been given notice, and therefore I was being given notice. And so I'd been looking around for alternate places to go, and just when that happened, a place that I'm now moving into became available at a price I could afford. I'd been looking for the last 2 years and nothing had come up, and just when it happened, and I needed to find a place, it came up. Well, we've been trying to move our house closer to the church to be closer to everybody here for the last few years. And it turns out that God's organised for that to happen just in these last few months. But just when we moved, we got notice that the people where we were wanting to sell the place. Right? So time and time again, I'm seeing this just-in-time thing happening. Not just once, not just twice, but multiple times. God speaking through circumstances. That God's got it in control. That God's providing what you need. And I need to be able to trust God for not just those things, because that's bolstered my confidence. I can need to trust God for everything else as well. God's speaking to me through the circumstances. Just like Jesus with John the Baptist. So lots of different ways. And lessons we can learn from about listening to God, just through the ordinary everyday people who are recorded in the scriptures, and the highs and lows and the struggles that they went through. Coming back to the sanctuary and being reminded of stuff. Remembering that God has spoken and acted in the past, and he will again in the future, even if it seems like he isn't right now. Remembering in detail the sorts of things that God has said so that we can be more attuned to picking them out. Being people who are devout and righteous and committed to worship and prayer and, if necessary, fasting, to say that God, we're connected to you. Having the intention to actually respond when God actually speaks. And finally, being on the lookout for the way and the markers and the things that happen, that when you stop and think about it, yes, that's God speaking to me. Because God speaks. God is a person. God is love. God communicates with his children. Sometimes we find it hard to hear. But that's not uncommon. And the examples we've looked at from the scriptures today can hopefully give us some pointers as we seek to listen to God afresh. Let me pray for us as I'm going to invite the team back up to lead us in our last song. God, you've spoken to someone here this morning about being in a dark room and a bright light and being comfortable but a bit scared as well about letting the light, opening the door and letting the light in. And Lord, I just pray that whoever that's for, that they would really know that's you speaking to them. And Lord, even at this moment, may you just let them respond to you and let your light into that dark place. God, you are a God of amazing grace. And I just pray that you would help us to hear you better and that we'd have hearts to respond to what you say. In Jesus' name, amen.